Essay 32. Science and Pseudoscience. Science comes from the Latin word for knowledge, and may be defined as the objective study of nature using data. A theory is intended to understand these data in the simplest possible way with the minimum of hypotheses. In the view of Aristotle, theory came first and the natural world had to conform to human thought. For example, the Greeks thought that the four elements were earth, air, fire, and water. The Greek classical thought reached Europe from very few extant manuscripts. How much of that classical thought has been lost is unknown. It persisted in Europe up to the 16th century, when dogmatism was challenged by the Renaissance, humanism, and skepticism. The Renaissance reached Britain through thinkers like Shakespeare, whose writings contain no dogma and reflect the human condition with metaphor. Shakespeare was influenced by the De Montaigne in France. Francis Bacon was influenced profoundly by Shakespeare and by Plato, and produced his Idylls of the Cave philosophy from Plato's cave, whose inhabitants lived in a world of darkness. At around this time, the scientific enlightenment began to dawn in Europe, with the work of Copernicus, Brahe, Galileo, Bruno, Kepler, and Newton. From the perspective of the 21st century, the Aristotelian approach to nature is pseudoscience, because the human mind creates idols, or dreams, of the cave, the darkness before the enlightenment. These dreams or fantasies are not put to the test of data. In the 21st century, data comes first. For example, orbits before the Enlightenment were said to be circles, but the data of the astronomer Tycho Brahe were analyzed by Johannes Kepler, who found that the orbit of Mars is an ellipse and not a circle. This elliptical orbit was explained in terms of three simple laws, Kepler's planetary laws. Later, Newton showed that the three planetary laws could be reduced to one, the inverse square law, or universal gravitation. And Newton went much farther than that. He inferred that the idea of universal gravitation applies to all kinds of situations, and not just to orbits. From the perspective of the 21st century, the inverse square law is science. The use of epicycles is pseudoscience. However, this perspective has been forged very slowly over several hundred years. In Kepler's time, the idea of force was unknown. According to Arthur Koestler in his book The Sleepwalkers, it was Kepler who first sensed that there is a force in the sun. At that time, many scholars would still insist dogmatically that the sun went round the earth and would have dismissed Kepler as a crank, even though he was Imperial Mathematicus in Prague. So what is science and what is pseudoscience is a product of the era. Closer to our time, science and pseudoscience are not clearly distinguished because we are too close to our own time, being near contemporaries. The thing that seems to be accepted without too much demur is that science is based on data. An empiricist of our time would use data and fit them with parameters that can be adjusted. In fact, that's exactly what the 20th century pseudoscientists and dogmatists used to do all the time. They did not forge an exact science in the manner of Kepler and Newton. For example, string theory has been heavily criticized by contemporary thinkers such as Anderson and Smolin as being a retrogression into Plato's cave, as being an Aristotelian throwback. This is because string theory has failed to produce a unified field theory and contains far more adjustable parameters, called dimensions, than the epicyclists ever invented. Idols and dreams defeated the scientists in the 20th century and threw away nature for dogma. Exactly the same thing happened in the long era of darkness between Aristotle and the scientific enlightenment. String theory was actually forced upon the scientific community by influential individuals. Compared with ECE theory, it is hideously complicated and obscure. Similarly, Einstein's general relativity is no longer accepted as science, deep flaws having been found in its structure. The dogmatists of the 21st century are fighting a losing battle as they try to defend the incorrect geometry used by Einstein, a geometry without space-time torsion. Quantum electrodynamics is based on adjustable parameters, again reminiscent of epicycles. These are given long Latin-based names barely understandable as English. Renormalization. Dimensional regularization. The virtual reality of particles that no one can ever observe, and all the rest of the jargon. The pseudoscientist had the effrontery to use James Joyce to hype its own image into quarks. James Joyce became an adjustable parameter. He would have described this as, in Dubliners, ugly child's play. Feynman dismissed his own quantum electrodynamics with pseudo-Latin hocus pocus. In other words, Feynman admitted that his own contrivances were idols of the cave. The delusional precision of quantum electrodynamics is based on this pseudo-Latin. All would be fun were it not so expensive. The 20th century in science was accompanied by a grotesque intolerance of new ideas, an intolerance starkly reminiscent of what happened to Bruno in 1600, and starkly reminiscent of the 20th century, that most violent and barbaric era in human history, an era that made Attila look like a choir boy. I would extend the dictionary here and define pseudoscience as something that encourages barbarism. Pseudoscience is what it's always been, self-delusion. The idea that an idea can impose itself on nature in all its infinite variety. Science is the simple study of nature, based on data that can be accepted by all.